Amen. Thank you, Suzanne. All right, take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go back to Philippians 1 as we finish what I began this morning. And this will finish this part of the series of Gospel according to the book of Philippians, there, the church at Philippi. I will be speaking from some more phrases from this book as we close out the year. This morning, and many of you were here in our service, we began looking at the title of this message, of course, from the very text, Your Fellowship in the Gospel. And we began by letting everyone know that love may be defined in this chapter like it's not defined anywhere else in the Bible. It was not about giving, it was about maturing. It was about growing in God's grace, in His knowledge, that's so important, discernment, and in His judgment, the ability to make the right call or the right decision or the right choice. Now, many of us in our lives struggle with life calls, or what I would say, decisions in life. I have spent my ministry in trying to do that in my own life. I've not always made all the right decisions as a father, as a husband, and as a pastor. And I want to make the right decisions, but I've not always done so. It's messages and the Word of God in our text, the way I have read it and studied it and presented it to you today, that really helps me understand that life choices can be made in the will of God according to God's plan in our life if we have our antenna up and if we're going to trust the Bible and if we're going to, by faith, say, okay, Lord, this is a judgment call and I want to make the right one. You help me with it. There's another way in which we make decisions that's very important. You see, some decisions that we make could be made both ways, but God would lead perhaps a father or a boss or a pastor or a politician, president of the United States, as far as that goes. He could make or she could make the decision either way would be okay. Neither would be sin. And so leaders are called upon to make judgment calls. And they are in that leadership position that they need to be sure that the decision that they make is of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that every politician prays about his decisions. But did you know that God can direct us even when we're carnal? Did you know that God used unsaved men to make the right decisions that affected entire nations in the Bible? He did. So the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And he can turn it whithersoever he wills. The Bible teaches us that. But once we are saved and we have the Holy Spirit, the Lord expects us to make the right choices. He wants to lead us in these right choices. And I mentioned to you this morning the first part of three prayer requests. The first prayer request of three, we're going to finish the other two tonight, was that their compassion had to do with the condition of their heart. In other words, if we're going to love, and our love is going to abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, then that verse had to do with the love of our heart. Remember, the bowels of compassion comes from the deep-seated emotion of man. And so you and I have the privilege of allowing the love of God to do more than just stir us to salvation, and we're glad that it did. But it also allows us to grow in knowledge, abound more and more. So he uses language that steps on top of each other. Not only do I want you to abound, superabound in this, but more and more. And we defined the difference between the two this morning. So their compassion had to do with the condition of their heart. But now if you'll look at verse 10 with me, we'll see a second prayer request that Paul gives to them. Follow along as I read it, please. That ye may approve, Paul is saying, now I'm continually praying for you, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. There he is using that end time event, that prophetical little phrase, until Jesus comes. Now think with me if you would, please. Here is my thought about this. Just as their compassion had to do with the condition of their heart. If you remember, I talked about the heart, the mind, and the will this morning. I laid that out for us this morning. Here's the second thought that I want to give to you as we take this verse apart. And that is their consent, what they put their approval on, their consent had to do with the clarity of their mind. So that's the second thing I want you to get. Their consent had to do with the clarity of their mind. Now look at the word approve. In the classical Greek language, this word is used to describe, as we would in the old country, the assaying or the proving the value of gold and silver. Later in civilization, approved was used for the test of money, testing money, for the authenticity of the bill, the paper money. So when the Bible speaks that we will approve things, the Bible is saying, listen, you need to test these things. You need to be sure that your love and that your judgment and that your discernment and that your knowledge is right. You know what that forces us? Now watch this. That forces us to be a student of God's word. We don't want to make decisions based on our whims, our wishes, what we want in life. We want our decisions to be made by the mind of Christ. We want to be sure that we make the right choices in our life. So approve those things. Have good judgment. You see, verse 10 is connected to verse 9. You cannot separate these verses. So Paul is saying, just as your compassion was connected to your heart, your consent, or what you approve, or what you allow to move your mind toward, you think about something long enough, and guess what happens? You do it. What does advertising do? It keeps it out there, and it keeps it out there. You watch the news early in the morning, and some car dealership comes flashing on in the new car. You go to work, you have that on your mind. Boy, that's a nice car. You come home in the evening, you sit in your lazy boy. Isn't it amazing? That same dealership will come on. That shiny new car. Boy, that's a nice car. Honey, I believe maybe it'd be good for us to get a new car. Your wife probably has a little bit more brains than you. Says, honey, we don't need a new car right now. But you see, you're attached to shiny. We're attached to things called new. And we keep thinking about it. And we keep thinking about it. And you think about getting a new car long enough, guess what you're going to do? You're going to find a way to get that shiny new car. Now, God made us that way. Now, if God made us that way and we are so super sensitive to advertisement, how much more should we be sensitive to His Word? To let His Word dwell richly in our minds. He knows the value of what we think about. Do you think the Word of God through the day? We should. So Because what we think, what we give our thinking to, what we give our mind to, is what will eventually trickle out in our decision. So we better be sure that we can prove, we better be sure we know what is God's will and what is not God's will. What is right and what is wrong. What is fake and what is true. Because we will have to make a moral decision eventually in our life. We will have to make an ethical decision eventually in our life. We will have to make a judgment call. If we allow the Word of God to saturate our minds, we can sort out, we can know what is the false and what is the true. And that's what this word approve means. Now, let's move forward in the verse. Approve those things that are excellent. The word excellent just simply means to defer. Here's the application. As believers, we must mentally, now stay with me, we must mentally have the ability to distinguish things that are true, that are truly important, so that we can establish right priorities, so that we can make right decisions. Our priorities get in line with our thinking. Those things that are excellent are things that we can prioritize and put at the top of our list and say, these are the most important things. College tuition for my child, Christian education for my children at Cross Point Christian Academy. That's more important than a shiny new car. We may have to drive a used Buick. That might have to be the will of God for you. Why is that? Because you are prioritizing, you are thinking things through, you're approving things that are excellent. You're thinking them through, you're prioritizing them. You are able to make the right decision because of how you're thinking it through. What's in your mind? You see, he's already got it in our heart. Compassion has to do with the condition of our heart. But the things that we consent to, the things that we approve, has to do with the clarity of our mind. And I would like to submit to you that I have seen people make decisions and they didn't have a clear mind at all. The decision that they made hurt them. It hurt them. It hurt their family. They didn't have clarity of mind from the pure, unadulterated Word of God. They were making those decisions based upon their desires and their flesh. The sense of the Greek word excellence is that Paul wanted them to be able to distinguish between things that especially differed from each other. This was first century Christianity. This was not the 21st century. They did not have what we have today. He would not have them love and approve things indiscriminately. Not on a whim, as I have said. They would weigh it out in their minds. They approved things that were excellent. They weighed it out. Their heart was right. God's word was there. They were weighing it out. And they wanted to be sure that they knew their priorities and the value of each one and where each one should be, so that when they made their choice, it would be seen by others as mature, knowledgeable in the Word of God, having discerned, judged it out, been able to see what is right for them, even in the gray area, and they approved the more excellent things. Today, we do not practice this in 21st century Christianity because we go off and we do what we want to do without thinking about it, without praying about it, without talking to others about it, without seeking any counsel. We just do them. Barnes said it this way. It is remarkable here how concerned the apostle was, not only for the Philippians, that they would be Christians, but they would be intelligent, and I'm quoting him now, intelligent thinking Christians, able to discern and understand the real worth and value of doctrine, which is the basis of our decisions, and what comes up daily in our life becomes the duty we get from the doctrine, end quote. Barnes was right. He understood it. Notice, he wasn't just concerned for them to be saved. That's great. He wanted them more than just saved. He wanted them to be intelligent, thinking believers, people who had the knowledge of God and had the ability to judge right from wrong. This is why when we don't do this, when we do not allow the Word of God to lead our life, when we will not allow God's Word to be the basis of our decisions, this is why we see people destroy their life. And the older they get, the worse it gets. Now, I want to tell you a true story of a young man that you know. Josh Dake called me the day of the golf course, the golf event. I'd just come off playing the 18th hole. My phone went off, and I didn't know the number, and I answer it anyway because I never know who it's going to be, and it was Josh Dake. Here's what Josh told me, and I hope all of our students are listening. He's a graduate of our school. What year did he graduate, Pastor Brent? 2016, graduate of our school. Josh Dake has been in a place down south called the Grace House. Josh became an alcoholic and a dope addicted young man. And he said, Pastor Erwood, I'm calling because I just graduated from my first 3 months of the Grace House. And he says, Pastor Erwood, I've lived without drugs, without alcohol, and without a cell phone for 3 months. 3 months. He says, I have never felt any closer to God than I do now. And he says, I'm calling, Pastor, to tell you that not only am I sorry for what I did as a student, embarrassing my parents, being a poor example of the school, but he says, I hope when I get through my next stint that I'll be able to come to Cross Point and apologize in person to those that I've hurt. He graduated from that section, and he's now going on to another section of leadership training in which he has done so well that they are going to move him forward into an internship if all goes well. They see leadership ability in him. I said all that to say this. Josh told me, my ears heard this on my cell phone. Pastor, I know what you said. I know what Pastor Brent preached in chapel. I know what Pastor Dan said as our youth pastor. I know what my mom and my dad said. But every time I heard that drugs were bad and alcohol was bad, in my heart, sitting in chapel, I said, I don't care what they say, I'm going to try all this. That was in the heart of a young man who grew up in this church. You do not have to become a dope addict and an alcoholic to get dried out and live without a cell phone for 3 months. There are some of your children could not live without their cell phone for 3 minutes, much less 3 months. You would have a war in your home if you took it away from them. And I asked Josh, I said, Josh, can I share this with our church? And he said, yes, you can. And he says, when I get on leave, I plan on coming and making my personal apology. And I said, Josh, I want you to write all this down, and I want you to send it to me. And he's in the throes right now of writing this down. And he spoke to me probably 20 minutes on the phone. He was the most clear-minded things. Here's the text I used to get from Josh when he was on drugs and alcohol. Text would come up from Josh. Pastor, I love you. Pastor, I miss Cross Point. 3 weeks later, Pastor, I love you so much. Pastor, I miss Cross Point. Drugs kept him away. Alcohol kept him away. Wrong friends kept him away. And here's the famous last words of the average parent, not only in this church, but every church across America: that would never happen to my son. That would never happen to my son. That would never happen to my daughter. If you have that thought, you are a fool. Satan has you right where he wants you. How can you discern right from wrong, thinking for a moment that your son or daughter would not get involved in sin? That's what I'm saying. That's the burden of my heart. I get overwhelmed with it sometimes because I want our kids to love God with all their heart. I want them to love God more than making money and more than winning a ball game and more than having a girlfriend or a boyfriend. We just want them to love the Lord and be good leaders. The students that sing in this choir, I went to two of them tonight before the service, and I thanked them for singing. I thanked them for being willing to be a leader. It's important for us to know that. Why is it that way? Why do I get passionate about this? Because I am not going to turn a blind eye and think all is well when it's not. Look at the rest of verse 10 and you'll see this very clearly. That ye may be, think about this now, that ye may be sincere and without offense. Blameless is the word, without offense. It's the same word that helps us understand the office of bishop. He's to be blameless. He's to be without offense. And you are too, just not the pastor, but you are. And sincere. Sincere has to do with, the word picture is many times when a piece of china got cracked, they would melt wax and squeeze wax into the crack. And they would take their china to the market. They would look at it, and on the surface, everything would look good. But if you held it up to the sunlight, you could see the crack. And you would know it's a bad piece of wear. Being sincere is holding up a moral truth to the Son of God, the light of the world. He'll tell you the truth about it, will he not? He'll tell you the truth about ethics and morals. He'll tell you the truth about alcohol and drugs. He'll tell you the truth about fornication. He'll tell you the truth about all of it. Their compassion had to do with the condition of their heart. Their consent had to do with the clarity of their mind. Would you see with me lastly this evening? Their consecration had to do with the commitment of their will. Look at verse 11. It's very easy to see. Being filled with the desires of your flesh, that you may love the things you want to love. Is that what it says? No. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. The fruits of righteousness speaks of the fruits of Christ's holiness and his righteousness, which he is able to produce in the believer. It's not I'm above you attitude. It's not a, I'm a deeper lifer. That's not the issue here. It's not being more holy than others. It's not bragging upon your standards. I preached recently, you can do right the wrong way. And I have seen people that have a lot of personal standards do wrong with their personal standards. Unfortunately, fundamentalism has reaped the carnal benefit of that. The fruits of righteousness speaks of the fruit in which Christ wants to give to us. This is accomplished by yielding our will to Him. If our heart is right and our mind is right, then it's going to be natural to yield your will to this. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. And in yielding, what do? We give honor and glory to God. Do we give honor and glory to God in fornication? No. Do we give honor and glory to God in drugs and alcohol? No. Do we give honor and glory to God by being a cheat and a liar? No. We give honor and glory to God by allowing our will to yield to the righteousness of Christ and allow Christ to lead us in our life, to change us, changed into His image, as we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. So may I ask a few questions this evening? I ask them to myself. How precious are the saints to you at Cross Point? We have some wonderful people here. People who have been heartbroken over their kids, and they've not hid it from us. They've not been hypocrites about it. It embarrasses them from time to time. But they got over that. That's your pride. Do you love the precious saints enough to be the kind of Christian that God has outlined for us in these 11 verses? What kind of memories are you making here? Will they have to be memories of apologies? Or are they memories in which you'll never forget from the first day you walked into the church how someone befriended you? I love it when I see that happening. I saw it happen. It happens here on a regular basis. Are you a part of the fellowship of the gospel here at Cross Point? If so, will you give in the offering in just a few minutes? You see, this is what God does in hearts. We become cheapskates. We don't want to give. We want a tip, and that's not 10% anymore. Some people treat their waitress and waiter at the restaurant better than they do God. Are you confident that God is completing His work in you? How confident are you in the work that God began in you? And will He complete it with you bringing honor and glory to Him? I want to be a good finisher. I wasn't a good starter at all. My life was filled full of sin and shame. You don't get saved till you're 24, almost 25, and a lot happens in your life that you wish you'd never, ever been a part of. Thankful for the forgiveness of God, of course, but it doesn't take away the scars. We have young people that grow up in our school, in our church. They have opportunities I never had when I was growing up. I never went to a Christian school. I don't have those opportunities. And many times when I walk through these halls, if I do not speak first to students, very few of them speak first to me. Many of them are respectful and they speak back, but we could do a whole lot better. Be thankful that the Lord has put you in a place like this, young people. It can keep you from a lot of heartache. Your parents have gone through heartache. They do not want you to go through what they've gone through. They want your life to be better. That's why they have you in a place like this. Be thankful for every opportunity that you have. Let's continue loving one another. Love has to be tough sometimes. We are the church that believes the Bible and loves people. And let's live according to Paul's prayer in abounding love, discerning judgment, and being fruit bearers of his righteousness. Would you stand with me, please?